Our next guest has heard this a few times in his life.
Yes.
Probably one of the greatest rock managers ever, if not the best.
Yes.
We're talking Kiss, Motley Crue, Bon Jovi, Skid Row, and so many more. Doc McGee on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Excellent. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Not a problem.
So you get into the rock world managing Pat Travers, right? He was your first rock guy.
Correct.
And that led you to eventually being in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve to sign Motley Crue.
Correct. You've done your homework.
Wow.
And this was like in 1982. LA knew Motley Crue.
Yeah.
But the world had not heard of Motley Crue.
They were stable there, yes.
What brought you to them? How did you hear about them?
Actually, I heard about them through two people. One, David Rudick, who was a lawyer, a very good friend and a lawyer of mine, and Tom Zutaut, who was working for Enigma Records at the time, who did Too Fast for Love. And so he was from Chicago. And kind of just talked, and they said, you got to come out and see this band. And it was New Year's Evil. And so I said, okay. So I jumped on a plane, came out, and signed them that night.
Nice.
What did you see in them that made you know that you were onto something here?
Well, listen, it was this whole thing with Motley was really the turning point in my musical career. When it came to how I looked at things, okay? And I'll tell you why, because before I was like in the R&B and before Pat Travers and stuff, and it's all the stuff I liked, you know what I mean? So I was doing music that I really enjoyed. And then with Motley, when I saw them, they were not good for me, my taste. And they were just rolled around and blew shit up, which was great.
Right.
And,
right. Blew stuff up. You know, yes.
Yeah. Blew stuff up. And then, but I saw 3,000 people going crazy over them. I mean, absolutely insane. And bought every piece of merchandise. And that's when I started understanding more of the connection concept of people connecting to people. And that's what Motley did. You know, Motley connected to, struck a nerve. And that's what happens in our business when you find things that are left and right, the Kurt Cobains of the world, the Alanis Morissettes, the Hooties, the different things that changed Dark Side of the Moon to the Beatles. They changed the way people think about things. And you have to react to the connection, not to what you think is right.
So how do you take them from being hot in L.A. to being hot all around the world? And you managed them from 82 to 89. And if you look at their their album list, it's all of their best material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's somewhat that happens to most when you're with them 9 or 10 years. Usually, artists don't last more than 5 years. Okay. So when you have a Motley or a Bon Jovi or Skids or Scorps or any of those people that you can keep for 20 years or 10 or 15 years, those years are the best years that they have, the beginning. I don't think that Guns will ever have an appetite. I don't think Bon Jovi would ever have a Slippery, those type of things.
Yeah.
On Motley, it was just, clean them up and take them around the world, get them to where they understood it's pathfinding. It's not, it's just keeping on the path, keeping true to what they were, let them find themselves and understand themselves was basically the concept.
Well, you had two Slipperies with Motley.
They were a great band. Yeah.
You had Shout at the Devil and you had, Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood. Yep. Yes, exactly.
But you went through a big dip with them in that midsection.
Sure.
Right, with drugs and
the whole Razzle thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's the, that comes with the territory, I guess, especially in the 80s. And it, you know, it was, difficult and trying times because that was the culture. And, so it was kind of like, you know, Nikki's concept was if you were over 30 years old, you should have been put in a camp. Okay. You should, you have no use in society.
Right.
So, it was, you know, it was interesting times, somewhat disturbing, but so much fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Doc McGee is on Super Manager, Motley Crue, discovered Bon Jovi.
Yep.
In the Hair Bands of the 80s special, you told a story about Motley Crue being in this really fancy hotel and like everybody is there. Van Halen, they're all there, and Motley Crue had this thing where they're going around biting people.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story?
Dark day. It'd be longer than you have this interview. We were doing the Monsters of Rock with ACD, Van Halen, and Motley Crue in 1984, starting in Sweden. And, you know, the guys just were going through this phase that if they liked you, they bit you.
Oh.
Now, that's kind of normal.
You didn't feed them?
Yeah. Well, and so they ended up biting Eddie Van Halen and getting in a huge brawl with the Van Halen AC/DC camp, which caused a lot of problems through the tour, but it all worked out. But I guess getting bit by these guys was not Eddie's favorite thing in the show business, for sure.
Did anybody bite back?
David jumped up and started fighting Tom, and it was a huge brawl. But, you know, it's like the Motley guys at the end of the day went, dude, wasn't that the best?
Well, they had fun.
I go, what? They go, dude, that was so fucking good. Was so good. So good. Wasn't that the best? What a great night. I go, wow, what part was really good? The part when you bit him and then you started fighting. Yeah, man, that was awesome. Yeah.
Here's some floss.
Yeah. So,
and then you have to clean it up.
So that was, and that was our life around the world. It's better when you have somebody that's authentic doing it than somebody doing it because they think they should.
Right.
You know, as a rock band.
Yeah.
This is where artistry kind of comes in a little bit. You know what I mean? Where regardless of whether you think it's good or bad, it's, you know, the Iggy Pops of the world. I commend them because they're true to what they are. You know, they're not just doing things to do something to think that they're going to get to the masses. They're actually doing what they do and believing in it. And that's where artistry comes from to me.
Yeah. Doc McGee is on the show, legendary rock manager. You have a book or are you working on a book that's coming out soon?
You know, I wrote a book. I don't think I'll ever put it out.
Ah, come on.
No. I just, listen, first of all, everybody, you know, what everybody wants to hear is these stories of the guys and all that kind of stuff. And I'm really in the inner sanctum of these people.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm dad. And you don't want dad telling these stories.
You want to squeal.
You know what I mean?
Good point.
Yeah.
I read somewhere.
So that's really the crux of it. You know?
I got you. I'm glad that you wrote it down somewhere for some period in time for it to be, you know, kind of like the Kennedy files.
Yes.
You know, after everyone's,
well, that was, you know,
everyone's
that
gone.
That was something that Peter Grant, Colonel Parker, myself, and Ahmed Erdogan were going to do in the 80s. We were going to sit down and get, Bill Kirbishley and some other people involved and sit down and just have drinks and tell this story on video of all the great artists and all the craziness. And then nobody, it wouldn't come out until all of us were dead. That was the idea. But then we never did it. And obviously, you know, we've lost some of the greats.
Well, I'm glad you wrote some of this down, and it's in a, somewhere, and hopefully people get to hear this stuff at some point. Yeah.
I'm sure that it'll get out. And there's documentaries, and there's a lot of things that, that are being done now that, that pretty much cover, you know, my my little here on Earth and the music business.
Doc McGee is on, Super Rock Manager. We have a little bit of a phone issue with you. Sometimes you sound great and sometimes not so great.
You become a transformer.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. So maybe it's...
If you have a
on a cell phone.
Oh, that's maybe. That feels better.
Okay, that's a lot better. Okay,
all right, let's talk about Bon Jovi. This is another band that you saw signed and got them to be world dominating rock artists.
Yes. A great band, a great time in my life. You know, it was right after Motley Crue, and the band was so good with Richie and Dave and Tico and Al.
Were you with them before those guys though? You were with John before when he was at Power Station, right?
Well, he was at the Power Station, but no, when I got there, the band was there.
Okay.
And they had just gotten there. Al, the bass player, had brought Tico and Richie into the band. Dave was already in the band with John with the Power Station.
And John, before these guys, was leaning towards the Southside Johnny kind of Jersey sound with the horns.
You emulate what you know,
right?
You know, and it was Bruce Springsteen and Southside Johnny, and he loved horn sections and the big band sound and all that kind of stuff. And I saw him as Van Halen.
Okay. Yeah, the hair band. Then. Yep.
Well, it wasn't so much hair band. It was just that unapologetic rock, you know, the stand up and play hard, have fun, you know what I mean? Not try to change the world with your music
or
your lyrics.
John Bon Jovi, two magazine covers. One had an aging rocker standing near a BMW, and then it was Rolling Stone magazine with David Lee Roth with three disheveled women.
Yes, correct. You see, you did your homework. Yeah. And so when you look at both of them and you say, here's the one with the BMW and the dog, and here's David Lee Roth in his underwear sitting on the side of the bed with three girls at it with a pizza on the floor, and it says, I used to have a drug problem, but now I can afford it. Okay. So who are you going to go see?
Right.
Who are you going to go see?
Right.
And, you know, my job is to bring you to masses. Okay. That's what I'm supposed to do. Remember, a manager is supposed to elevate, not ride. Okay.
Yeah.
They're supposed to elevate, to bring things to the table, not just ride the pony. So that's what we tried to do.
And so you saw Bon Jovi as the next Van Halen.
Yes. From day one, because I knew that they were going to implode. I had just done, you know, 40 shows with Motley Crue in Europe with them.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were going to fall apart. And I knew that that was the spot. You always have to look at something and say, where does it fit?
Oh, you know, wow.
Do I have a slot? Do I have a path?
Right.
Do I have a road? And my slot for Bon Jovi was Van Halen.
Even the name of the band, similar.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's how we named it. If you look at it, you see Van Diamond Halen, right?
Yeah.
There's a little diamond in between Halen.
Yeah.
If you look at Bon Jovi, it was Bon Diamond Jovi. It was pretty simple.
Yeah. Well, formula.
And the formula is there. It's identifiable, even though nobody knew what a Bon Jovi was at the time. Okay. It just felt like you did. You know, Motley Crue just had a great name. You know, it had that identifiable name. It's like Kiss. How did Paul Stanley name Kiss? He went Kiss because people don't know the band, but they know what Kiss is. So it's already familiar.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Doc McGee on the show. Were you once arrested with 20 tons of marijuana?
No, I was never arrested with 20 tons of marijuana. I was thrown into a court case in Wilmington, North Carolina that had 20 tons of marijuana and, you know, involved in it. Yes.
So how did you get involved in the court case?
I was involved in a court case because I knew the people that were involved.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
But you were able to successfully negotiate that down to almost a hand slap.
You know, to a certain extent, yes. And again,
not that a quarter of $1 million is a hand slap, but you know, most people would go to jail for a long time back mm-hmm. then with 20 tons of marijuana.
Yeah, you know, if that was the case. They would have probably put me away if I would have been really guilty of whatever they thought I was doing or what people assume I was doing. And a lot of it just comes because of who you are.
Right. Just say it's Van Halen.
You know, at that time.
Well, Dave wanted
yeah,
this.
Exactly. And so, you know, maybe I was just an overachiever.
Right. I was multitasking.
Exactly. But,
Your Honor, I'm an overachiever.
Right. I was merely trying to get an operation for my mother.
Right. She's got glaucoma.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but it's, you know, it was that time of life that things just were just crazy in the 70s. This happened in the 70s.
Yeah.
This didn't happen while I was managing Motley Crue or Bon Jovi or any of this. This happened before that. So that just came to light during that concept when I happened to be pretty known
right.
as, you know, a big manager.
You were the guy.
Man. Yeah.
You were the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still the guy.
Yeah, still the man.
Is Kiss talking about getting back together yet? Has that conversation started?
Well, not really get back together. You know, we have moved on from our touring aspect, and now we've teamed up with a company called Pop House out of Sweden. And who did ABBA Voyage in London, which is the Avatar show. And we're developing all kinds of stuff for Kiss in the future. It's hard to talk about it right now because we have a lot of stuff to do. But
yeah.
It's going to be awesome. I can tell you that. It's going to be it probably would be so advanced. It's like going to the Star Wars bar every morning.
Right.
You know, I walk in and there's avatars and there's this and robots. It's crazy.
Wow. It's pretty wild. Well, you know, look, there's an army of Kiss fans out there, legions, yes. who don't want this to end. They want to bring their kids and their grandkids. And when you see some of these tribute bands coming around charging 80 times what the original band charged to see them,
yeah.
like Kiss can't go away. They have to be around.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Their fixture.
Yeah. I think, you know, Kiss will be here long after I'm here, and probably all of us.
Right.
Hopefully. Hopefully. I think it's and that's where I've wanted it to go from day one when I signed them 30 years ago.
Wow. Doc
and
McGee
so
on
it
the
was
show.
Always that.
Yeah.
I have like a million more. Any chance of us getting you back like a month from now?
Anytime you want to, bud. I'd be happy to. I love Hartford. I'm going up to Wingfoot next week to play the member guest. I'm a member at Wingfoot, which is only about an hour away from you. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Cool.
So, And yes, okay. I'm going to have to play the member guest golf tournament.
We're going to be annoying pests to you because we're such fans of your work, and you've done such great work. And
well, that's very, that's very kind of you.
Great music and memories.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I'm going to tease our next segment. So I'm going to start with you were with Guns N' Roses for 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That was like, but you know, some it seemed like 10 minutes.
Really?
Underwater.
Wow.
Right.
Underwater.
That's the best, man.
That's great. Doc McGee, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate you. We're linked up to all things Doc McGee on the radio station website, WPLR.com. Thank you, sir.